I was looking for an illustration that I know I have tucked away someplace, but I was unable to find it. But I found another one that I'll share with you, since we just had Palm Sunday a few days ago. I believe this is from Max Lucado. It says, "When I get to heaven, I know what I want to do. There is someone I want to get to know. I want to meet the guy with the donkey. I don't know his name or what he looks like. I only know one thing, that he gave. He gave a donkey to Jesus on the Sunday he entered Jerusalem. Go into the village over there, Jesus said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. When I get to heaven, I want to visit this fellow. I have several questions for him. Did you know? Did you have any idea that your generosity would be used for such a noble purpose? Did it ever occur to you that God was going to ride your donkey? Were you aware that all four gospel writers would tell your story? Maybe you have those questions too. All of us have a donkey. You and I each have something in our lives which, if given back to God, could, like the donkey, move Jesus and his story further down the road." Let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks that you have given me so much. And Lord, you have given me things spiritually and financially. And Lord, you expect me to share those things. And sometimes it may not seem like a big deal. Just like this man probably thought letting his donkey be used by someone wasn't going to be a big deal. Well, Lord, it certainly was. And so, Father, help us to remember that when we give for you, for your glory, that sometimes the gift may be someone else's answer to prayer. No matter how big or how small it might be just what that person needed, and you chose us to give to them. So, Father, as we look at your word today, Lord, help us to see what you have to give us. Because, Lord, when we read your word, we never come away empty. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know that what I shared really had nothing to do with what I'm about to share, but I just thought it was appropriate for the season. Well, we made it. I wasn't sure if I would or not. Journey to Easter number 6. And it is glorious, but it's difficult. I mean, we've looked at the darkness, the veil torn from top to bottom, the earthquake, the open graves, the undisturbed grave clothes. So what's left? The revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. I got to tell you, I really struggled with this. Not that I don't believe it, but I struggled with putting it together and doing the research and deciding to do. I was going to skip it and maybe do it next week, but no, the Lord kept telling me it needed to be done now. I'm not sure why, but God knows. Excuse me. So let me share from Matthew 27:51-53. "The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Excuse me. I'm not sure if the tombs were opened because the rocks split. You know, if maybe the stone that was in front of the tombs, those rocks split open, or if the stones were maybe moved, rolled away because of the earthquake. But I know that that really doesn't matter. It just says that the tombs were opened. And looking at different Bible versions, it says the holy people, the believers, the holy ones, godly men and women, the saints, they were alive again. Okay, those that had their tombs opened on that Good Friday. So that's the point of verse 52. Now, verse 53 is what needs to be addressed. The Passion Translation says, after Jesus' resurrection, they were plainly seen by many people walking in Jerusalem. Okay, going back to verse 52, it says only certain graves were opened, not all graves, only those who believed. And, you know, I want you to understand that, as always, I'm just sharing my interpretation of the scripture. You know, you may agree with me 100% or 90% or 0%. But I'm giving you what the Lord gives me. So with that in mind, what made them holy or godly or saints or believers? Were they only people that had died recently enough that they had heard Jesus speak and believed what Jesus said? Or were they people that had been following the law and believed that God was sending a Messiah? Maybe they had died years before. Matthew doesn't share that with us. Okay, it just tells us that they had come to life again and that they were seen or appeared to people. So what does that mean, that they were seen, that they were appeared to people? Well, the Greek is emphenidzo, which means to declare, appear, inform, to show, or to exhibit. Okay, it doesn't say that they were recognized. It doesn't tell us that they went home. It doesn't tell us that they went to the temple. It just says that they went into the holy city. Now, it seems like the last few years, there's been a whole lot of stuff on TV and in movies and all about this zombie stuff. Okay? Let's not go there. Okay? I don't think that's what Matthew had in mind. By any stretch of the imagination. But there is one thing that I know for sure. That is, if we say that we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we have to believe what Matthew has shared. I don't believe that Matthew is going off on some wild tangent, you know, thought, hey, you know, why don't I write about this? You know, maybe I'll become the world's first Stephen King and write about some really wild things that I say happened. No, I don't think that would have made the cut and been in Scripture. Okay, what we know is Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing to his fellow Jews. And it's not like these are the first people who have been raised from the dead. Okay, if we go back to 1 Kings 17, the son of the widow in Zarephath, in 2 Kings 4, the Shunammite's son was raised from the dead. In 2 Kings 13, Elijah had died, he had been buried, and there was a man that had died, and they put him in the same tomb as Elisha, and when that man's body touched Elisha's bones, he came to life again. Okay, then in the New Testament, okay, the ruler's daughter, Jairus, in Matthew 9, the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7, and of course what we read about Lazarus in John 11. But in each of these cases, except maybe for the guy that went into Elijah's tomb, you know, it was someone that the family was there. And, you know, it was, in most cases, an immediate thing, you know, shortly after death, except for Lazarus. Okay, so maybe Matthew wrote this because he encountered some of these saints. Okay, it says that they were walking around in Jerusalem, and you know, maybe Matthew saw some. Maybe Matthew had been hiding out in the cemetery during the crucifixion. Okay, we don't know where Matthew was, and so maybe he wanted to be close enough to see, but far enough away that, you know, he wasn't risking being arrested himself. And so maybe he had been in the cemetery when the graves were opened. And so maybe, you know, he'd gone back to check and see, you know, is people still in there? Or, what happened? Why did this happen? I know I'm going to be like Max Lucado when he said he wants to meet the man with the donkey. I know that someday I'll have the chance that I can ask Matthew about that. But at the same time, I know that it's really not going to make any difference, because they say that we will know all at that time. Well, one thing that I found in my research on this passage was I found that there were differing thoughts on what happened, because the question is, how were they raised? Okay, we have two choices. One is that they were raised with physical bodies, that they were just brought back to life, like the widow's sons and the ruler's daughter and the man that had been put in Elijah's grave and Lazarus. If that's so, they were raised to life just to die again, because those physical bodies would once again have to experience death, you know, however death came to them. The second option is they were raised as spiritual bodies, like Jesus after his resurrection. And then at some time, they were taken up to heaven. Maybe when Jesus ascended to heaven. I don't know. But personally, I go for theory number two. Okay, it doesn't seem to be the most popular theory, but it's the one I'm going to go with. And that is, they were raised with spiritual bodies. Why? Well, because if they were raised with physical bodies, why did they stay in the graves until after Christ had been resurrected? Okay, if the tombs were opened and they were raised to life, why hadn't they gone into the city on Friday? Now, some people say, well, it's because it was the Sabbath was going to be starting, or it was the beginning of Passover. I don't know. I've never been raised, I've never died and then been raised back to life. But I think if that were to happen to me, okay, if I were to die today and somebody came and prayed over me at the funeral home and I was raised to life, I don't think I would just kind of sit there, okay? If I was raised in my grave, I'm not going to sit around for 3 days. I'm not going to be sitting there thinking, gee, you know, I wonder how my wife and kids are doing. You know, my grandkids. You know, maybe in a few days I'll go and check. Or, you know, maybe when I have the time, I'll go to church and decide to thank the Lord. I don't think so, okay? I would think that if those people had been raised in a physical body, that they'd have been gone, that they would have headed home, headed to the temple, headed to the city. So I don't know. So I know that the graves were opened on Friday. I don't believe that the holy people or the saints were resurrected, though, until Sunday. I know what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23. Okay, this is what it tells us in the New Living Translation. It says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So, you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Okay? So that's telling us that spiritual resurrection is not going to happen until Jesus comes back again. Okay, so if you're reading only that, it does not sound like those from the tombs were given spiritual or resurrected bodies. Okay, but I also know what it says in Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. This is from the Passion Translation. It says, "Then the thief on the cross said, 'I beg of you, my Lord Jesus, show me grace and take me with you into your everlasting kingdom.' Jesus responded, 'I promise you, this very day you will enter paradise with me.'" Now, some will argue, we don't know that Jesus was receiving his spiritual body on that day. Okay, that he was going to heaven in a spiritual body. Okay, that's what some would say. And that's true. But we don't know that he wasn't receiving his spiritual body on that day, at that time. We know that the thief didn't die at the same time that Jesus did. Okay, that Jesus died earlier in a shorter time than most would. The thief, well, both thieves had their legs broken, so they couldn't push themselves up, and so it prolonged their death. But 1 Corinthians 15, Paul also tells us this in verses 42 to 44. This is a New Living Translation. "It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies." With the exception of Lazarus, those raised had not been dead for very long. Now, in John 11, Jesus tells the people to roll the stone away from Lazarus's grave. And Martha says, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Then in verse 40, Jesus says, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" The fact that Jesus had been dead for 4 days didn't make any difference, because God was going to be glorified. Doesn't it make sense that God would be glorified in the resurrection of those from Calvary's cemetery? But you might think that I'm arguing against myself. Okay, in some ways it may sound like it, but I know that God orchestrated the whole thing from Friday to Sunday. So what is God's purpose in this sixth miracle? It's the same as it was in the other five. Okay, in the darkness, that was a symbol of God's power over natural order. The tearing of the curtain from the top to the bottom, that was a symbol of God's power over people. And the earthquake, that was a symbol over God's power over nature. The open graves, that was a symbol of God's power over life and death. And the grave clothes, that was a symbol over God's power, a symbol of God's power of resurrected life. And now, the revivals of the dead, that's a symbol of God's power over the grave. So these six things, they're important, but what's really important is the resurrected Christ. It's all about Jesus, nothing else. You know, we can't let these miracles or anything else distract us. Okay, because this is what's important. Matthew 27:50. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. Mark 15:37. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Luke 23:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. John 19:30. When he had received the drink, he said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's what took him there. That was what he meant when he said, It is finished. Okay, my purpose in coming here is finished. Okay, I have died for those that know me and love me. But this is even more important. Matthew 28:5-6. The angel said to the women, He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Mark 16:6. The angel said, You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? Luke 24:5. The angels said to the women, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. In John 20:29, then Jesus told Thomas, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Jesus was resurrected. That, and that alone, is what's important. That is what you need to believe. Let me share the words from a popular hymn song. In the first verse, it says, God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Father, I want to pray for those that know you and love you and have committed their lives to you. But Lord, sometimes in some ways and for whatever reasons, they may still question. They may still wonder. They may still have doubts of some kind. But Father, let them know that what your word tells us is true. And that there may be parts that we kind of stumble over and question. And you know, some of these six miracles may be some of those. But Lord, let them know that if it's in your word, that that's what happened and that's how it happened. And Lord, we're not called to understand you. We're called to have faith and believe you. And so Lord, let us do that. Let us set aside our questions and our wondering and Lord, know that your word is true. And Lord, I lift up those that have never made a commitment to you, that Lord, they may have gone to church for years. They maybe went to church for a long time and maybe haven't been back for a long time and stumbled on this podcast. Lord, let them know that the words that you've given me today are true, and that's what we need to believe to spend our eternity with you, because we're all going to spend eternity someplace. Okay, sometimes us Christians make the mistake of saying, you know, I now have eternal life. Well, we all have eternal life. But do we want to live our eternal life, or do we want to be dead in our eternal life? Because the only way we live in our eternal life is to live with you. Because if we don't choose you, our eternal life will just be a constant death sentence as we spend our eternity in hell. So Father, if there's someone that needs to make that commitment to you, let them know that they need to believe that your son came to earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. and that he lived his life as an example for us. That, Lord, he faced every sin that there was out there, and that he never gave in. I'm sure he never even thought about sinning. But it was our sin that took him to the cross. It was our sin that he died for. So when he died that day on the cross, it was because of you and me and all of the you and me's for hundreds of years. And it's hard to believe that someone 2,000 years ago could die for my sins that I've committed today and the ones I'll commit in my tomorrows. But that's what your word tells us. And so, Lord, give us the faith to believe that. Because not only did he die on the cross and was put into the tomb, but 3 days later, he was not there because you had raised him from death. You had made him the first to be resurrected, the first to have that spiritual body. And then he says, I'm coming back. He says, when the Father tells me it's time, I'll be back. And so all we need to do is be ready. So if there's someone that needs to know that, Lord, let them pray that they will believe your word. They'll know that they've been a sinner and that Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead. That's what they need to believe. That's the prayer that they need to have in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.